This show is part of the RetroZap.com podcast network.
This is Warp Trails, a Star Trek Discovery podcast, a RetroZap podcast network exclusive.
Greetings, Discovery fans, and welcome back to Warp Trails. I'm Dennis, and of course I have my wife and co-host Beth with me.
Hello.
So, we've reached the mid-season finale of Discovery, and we'll be talking about Episode 9, Into the Forest I Go. Overall, what did you think?
I liked the episode a lot. The promises we were given of earth-shattering twists and turns, I don't think came through. It confirmed a few things they had hinted at, but it was a strong episode, and I enjoyed it. What do you think?
I liked it quite a bit. There was a fan theory that I think was disproven.
Yes.
In this episode that we'll get to in time. And I think this sets up an interesting last third of the season when the Discovery resumes in January. Well, let's get into the episode. Things begin on Pavo, where Discovery is being ordered to retreat by Admiral Terrell back to Starbase 46. The thinking is this, that the Klingons are going to show up and Discovery is their best chance at defeating the Klingons in this war. And so they can't risk losing it there. Lorca is arguing for sticking around and protecting the Pavans. Okay.
Right. Didn't that take a minute? I was like, wait a minute. The Admiral Starfleet is telling the captain, telling Lorca to leave. Like, oh, it's just a planet. It's not even like a main one. And Lorca's like, no, I will protect these people. It was really...
The notion that Lorca was the one sticking up for the Pavans was a little different. I get it from the standpoint that he once lost his crew, the Baron.
Yeah.
And he was not going to risk letting any species suffer at the hands of the Klingons, although the Pavans are not your standard sentient species.
Right. The idea that he wants to fight rather than leave is certainly consistent with Lorca. It was more Starfleet that seemed out of character.
Sure.
It wasn't even like, we're going to send somebody else to help you. We need to get Discovery out of the way. It was, nope, they'll figure it out themselves.
Yeah. It's regrettable, but we got to do what we got to do. Lorca finally concedes that, okay, fine, we'll go back to Starbase 46. However, once he gets to the bridge and he's discussing with his crew, he seems to be arguing with them a little bit about this as well.
Saru does not want to leave.
Right. Well, and Saru's been compromised. You know, as we found out in the last episode, he found peace. And for the first time in his life, he was not afraid of anything.
Right.
And so, you know, he begged to let, he allowed rather, to go and talk with the Pavans or figure something out.
Was it Pavans or Starfleet? He said he wanted to go express his concerns, and I wasn't sure if he wanted to express those concerns to the Pavans or to Starfleet. I thought it was Starfleet, but you think it was the Pavans.
At this point, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Saru wanted to talk to somebody, and Lorca said no.
He wanted to stay on Pavo. But anyway, they go, Lorca says, well, go to Warp 5, we're heading back to Starbase. And then as soon as they do, he says, all right, I've bought us some time.
It was great. It was like, if you're going to break the rules, please don't make it obvious, which was one of the, it was very Kirkian, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, so basically he tells them, we've got 3 hours to find a solution to these Klingon invisibility screens. You know, we could always use the spore drive to get back there if we need to.
Right.
So they begin to work on that. So about an hour, let's go to sickbay.
Well, because he's got a cover for the reason why they're going on to back to the Starbase on warp's drive speed as opposed to spore speed. So he uses that by suggesting to Stamets that perhaps Stamets isn't as connected to the spore drive as he could be. He's having some technical difficulties.
Right. And Stamets at first likes that idea and totally realizes he has to go to sick bay and face his boyfriend, who's not going to be happy.
Yeah,
once he does an examination.
Stamets' secrets are about to bite him in the butt.
An hour into the trip back to Starbase 46, they have the workings of a solution. They're going to need to beam an away team onto the ship of the dead. And once that team gets there, they're going to have to plant a couple sensors on the ship. The problem is that it'll take days for Discovery to get all the intelligence they need in order to properly program their algorithm. So they're going to have to work that part out. But when the Ship of the Dead goes to Cloak, then they can start getting the intelligence they need sent back to Discovery. That's the workings of the plan. And they're going to have to work out a few details on that, which they will in a bit.
Did you miss the sort of... And I know it's not the same, and I don't want to get into that too much, but I missed the this thing's got to have a tailpipe sort of philosophy that Star Trek used in the movies to track down a Klingon ship.
The iron gas in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they got it. They have to come up with a different solution here, because Cloak is not quite the same as it gets to be.
No, at the time, I mean, the original series crew. Cloak should be a Klingon technology that does evolve over time, for sure.
So back in sickbay, Dr. Culver finds evidence of the side effects from all of these spore jumps that they've been taking.
He is pissed.
Yeah, he's not happy about this at all. He's talking about something about the white matter of Stamets' brains and certain things, new tracks or whatever. I didn't quite follow that. I have no idea if that really made any medical sense or not, but
it made Star Trek brain sense.
Certainly. Lorca and Stamets are discussing this plan. They've come up with a solution to this whole, it's going to take days to get the data they need, and they're going to conduct 133 microspore jumps with the Discovery, to which the look on Stamets' face when Lorca tells him this was priceless.
It
was
I
don't think it's really designed for that, sir. But
it was not only no, but it was hell no.
Certainly. And so Lorca eventually persuades Stamets to do it. He, by explaining to him, you're not just a science, you're an explorer. You could have stayed back on Earth and been a scientist. And he reveals that he's been plotting all of Stamets' jumps as well. And he believes he's found evidence of parallel dimensions and the possibility of time travel using the spore drive.
Yeah. So on one hand, this is really cool that there's been some scientific, at least data collection, during all these jumps. On the other hand, as a way for Lorca to get Stamets to do what he wants, I was like, wow, that is really, it was manipulative.
Right. But anyways, this gets Stamets to agree to make the jump. Then Lorca gets to the bridge and he puts Tyler in charge of the way team. And naturally, Tyler wants to take Burnham with him, to which Lorca refuses. So why exactly is Lorca so protective of Burnham here? I wasn't sure I picked up the reason for this.
I don't think the reason has been presented to us. My stupid fan theory of the moment is that Lorca knew her parents somehow.
Burnham persuades him because she's the only one that's been on the ship. You know, she was there back in episode 2 when she killed Takuvma. Lorca, you know, after some adamant denials over her request, eventually concedes and says, okay, fine, you can go.
Right, just go.
So back in engineering, they're getting ready to start the plan. Dr. Culber and Stamets are talking to each other. Culber's pretty concerned, but finally Stamets says, you know, I can do it. Culber says okay and puts some sort of a sleeve on him. They allow him to give him some medical treatment while they're doing the jumps. And then Tilly blurts out that Stamets has been having all these side effects.
Right, now, she was so glad that Stamets had finally told the doctor about the side effects.
And then she realized Stamets had not said anything about the side effects.
No, but this was so Tilly. I mean, I hated that she did this, but she said
it's what she would do,
it's what she would do, and then when she mouths, I'm sorry, to Stamets, but like, the doctor's just not coming unhinged, but not being happy about it. It was also so Tilly. I realized how much I really like this character.
Right. You know, Culber said something like that, you know, don't worry about it, cadet. I'm sure the lieutenant had a reason for not telling me. And it was the tone of voice.
It was
the
total
angry lover
tone.
Voice. But so anyway, so they're getting all set up. Lorca then gives this pep talk to the crew.
Which was so Independence Day.
It was kind of backhanded, too. It was like, you all start off as polite scientists, but now you're fierce warriors.
All.
Which was not exactly the natural progression for Starfleet. But, you know, so now they're all pumped up.
But they're the only ones who can do it. And, like, we'll look back. It really, towards the end, reminded me of Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Yeah, and so they've detected the signature of a cloaked Klingon ship arriving in Pavo's system. And Lorca gives the order to jump back to Pavo. So that's kind of where, if we'd been watching with commercials, we would have hit the commercial break
and started
the next act, at which point the Ship of the Dead arrives at Pavo, and you want to talk about pumping up your soldiers. Cole, you know, orders that, you know, decloak the ship, and we're going to attack the Discovery. We'll storm their decks, kill the crew, take the weapon, and destroy Pavo and their transmitter. I mean, you know, it's like, charge!
Killing everyone and their uncles, right. And I had forgotten. how big the Ship of the Dead was compared to Discovery. Mm-hmm. And they do that shot of the Ship of the Dead sort of showing up, and I was like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah,
it's a cool shot.
Triple the size of Discovery, yeah, at the very least. Tyler and Burnham are preparing to beam aboard the Ship of the Dead. They have pattern simulators that I guess will disguise their bio signs so that it's not obvious that two humans just came aboard.
Yeah, I think it's not setting off an alarm.
All right. And then Lorca, they beam aboard, and Lorca orders the Discovery to go to evasive maneuvers as the Klingons are firing torpedoes at them. Once they're on the Ship of the Dead, Burnham and Tyler place the first sensor fairly easily.
Can we have a moment about that sensor? That is supposed to be a hidden sensor that's supposed to grab a lot of information.
And they just set it on the floor?
Not only does it talk, they set it on the floor, and it's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And then they have to head to the bridge. But this is where things start to get a little bit more interesting. They don't get very far before Burnham detects a human life sign. They argue about whether or not they should go for it. And Burnham convinces Tyler that, you know, we have to go. We're not leaving anyone behind, which strikes a chord with Tyler, obviously, because he remembers when he lost his captain on his previous ship.
Right.
And so he finally agrees. They find a cell and they go to open it. Burnham is having some trouble cracking the lock, but Tyler says, let me take a stab at it. Was he using a knife?
He uses a knife and basically he basically hot wires the door.
But Burnham gives him a funny look, to which he responds, like, I spent 7 months in a Klingon prison. That may be, but how many locks did you pick while you were in the Klingon prison?
Well, and if you were picking locks, why didn't you manage to escape? Or, I mean, and I don't know, I've not have ever having been held hostage on a Klingon ship. I mean, how hard that was, but it did have this, like, I've done this all the time.
Sure. I guess the thing I'd say about that is back in that episode where he met Lorca, he did say he had a plan that required two men.
That's true.
And he didn't trust Mud.
And maybe he had practiced it.
So they get into this cell, and I got to tell you, you know, all the theory going around amongst the fans that Tyler is actually a Klingon in disguise, this whole he could just pick the lock did kind of put an antenna up for me that perhaps I was like, oh, were they really going to go with that?
But, I still don't trust him. I don't think he's a Klingon, but I still don't trust him.
Well, he's definitely experienced some trauma. Speaking of which, when they get into the cell, they find Admiral Cornwell, and that answers that question.
She is not dead. I said she was dead, and I was wrong, but she was in the room of the dead bodies.
Right, so she's there in the room of the dead where they keep their sarcophagus, and Laurel's hiding out in the corner.
Yep.
While Burnham is attending to Cornwell, Tyler freezes up when he sees Laurel.
He just loses it. And I thought that was actually fairly well done, just sort of visually. There were flashbacks of the torture, but there were sort of bits of the present. Like, I'm not going to say I felt his panic, but it was quite clear what he was feeling.
Well, yeah, you could see everything going through his mind. Yeah. And I appreciated that they did not linger on any one particular incident of torture for too long.
Right.
I'm having second thoughts about continuing to allow the children to watch this show.
Yeah, our 10-year-old was not prepped for this episode.
No, at all. So we're going to have to think about this one going forward, or maybe have to screen them at the very least.
It's
but,
too late.
Yeah,
why can't we watch it now?
So Tyler's freezes up. And Cornwell has come to enough that she says that she can tell what this is, that Tyler's gone into a post-traumatic stress disorder type of traumatic shock.
And this was really cool because they had sort of thrown out that she was a trained psychiatrist. She actually uses that skill a lot in this episode in ways that I really liked.
Mm-hmm, exactly. At this point, it's down to Burnham because she's got... Cornwell can't feel anything below her waist. Or she can't feel her legs. Tyler's frozen up, but Tyler's she's got to complete the mission. And so she tells them that, oh, I'm going to go on, but I'll come back for you. And Cornwell's like, what, you're leaving us? And she's like, yes, I have to finish the mission. She leaves a phaser with Cornwell and heads to the bridge. And she gets there quickly and without any incident and plants the second sensor.
Yes, which also talks.
They leave a lot of stuff lying around the bridge.
That is the worst bridge. I know why it's so huge, because it just is also storage.
I don't know. I feel like we're being very snarky about this episode, but as much as I enjoyed it, there was a couple of wait moments.
There were some wait, wait, wait. When it says, like, sensor activated, I was like, for real? You can't mute that puppy, Burnham?
Yeah. At this point, Discovery gets a confirmation from the sensors that they've been activated. They begin taking these jumps around the ship,
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to confuse the Klingons into going into cloak, because that's how they're going to get their information
yep.
transmitted by the cloaking device. And this was pretty cool. I was not certain how they were going to pull this off, but Discovery would basically do one spore jump after another, launching torpedoes at the ship of the dead.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the reaction to that in a minute.
But basically, it was going to act like a mosquito and just be annoying so that it could get the jumps done.
That's a good comparison. I like that. So eventually, so they get back to the cell, and Cornwell is attempting to guide Tyler through this PTSD, episode that he's going through. You know, mm-hmm. stay with me, listen to my voice. And at one point, he's like, stop talking. I hate to laugh at that. I have no idea what it's like to experience post-traumatic stress disorder. Lateef did a great job
yeah.
with this. He was yeah. very convincing. They eventually get the Klingons to go into cloak. So they've engaged in this 133 consecutive spore jumps that they need in order to pick up all the data. I guess they have to hit every possible angle
yes,
on the ship of the dead.
Catch all the imperfections.
And catch, you know, so they can catch everything they need to know about it. It didn't take long. They said with like 96 jumps to go, Stamets was already experiencing severe discomfort. He looked terrible. Dr. Culbert contacts the bridge and says that they want to abort, but Lorca refuses. At which point, Culbert applies some sort of treatment. And I guess this is where the episode title comes in, because Stamets says something about he can see a clearing in the forest, and this is how they go. Did I get that line correct?
I think so.
Okay. They're about to run out of time here, because on the ship of the dead, the Klingons have detected some sort of a sabotage.
Right. They think Laurel's escaped.
That's right. And Cole orders the ship to go to warp because, you know, it was like, what are we doing here? You know, Discovery is this.
And this was kind of cool. I mean, that was kind of cool when the Klingons are like, wait, what are we doing? Let's mm-hmm. just leave. This is stupid.
Yeah, let's live to fight another day. So they're going to get out of there. They're going to warp and they'll come back with more Klingons.
Yeah.
Burnham is still hanging out on the bridge with the yep. other sensor. So she needs to stall them. So she has no choice, but she turns around and opens fire.
Yes.
And it works. Because she gets Cole's attention, and she confronts Cole, who happens to have Captain Georgiou's Starfleet badge.
Yes.
And he's bragging about how it's something he uses to pick his teeth.
Which, ew, but okay.
Yeah, well, they both take a few turns trying to intimidate and antagonize the other
yes.
Over the course of this confrontation. Burnham also reveals that, you know, you want to pay attention to me because I'm the one that killed T'Kuvma.
Yes.
So back in the cell, Cornwell is still trying to get Tyler to snap out of it.
And Tyler is still useless.
The reason being is because the Klingons are coming through the door because they're trying to check on Laurel, who they think has escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Cornwell has no choice but to fire on the Klingons as they come through.
Right, and she's basically like, look, I need your help. Burnham needs your help. You need to snap out of this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what gets him out of it. Tyler finally thinks of Burnham and the kiss that they shared back on Pavo, and he snaps out of it. He finds the Klingon disruptor and shoots one of the Klingons. He then gets the doors closed.
Yep.
Then back on the bridge, Cole thanks Burnham because without Burnham killing T'Kuvma, it would never have been possible for him to take over the ship of the dead and build what he's referring to as his empire.
Yes.
And so he plans on taking Burnham back to the empire, and he'll show Burnham to the rest of Takumo's torchbearers and basically get their loyalty. They'll give up.
Right.
With their little crusade. But Burnham's got the answer to that, and she plays on Klingon loyalty and challenges him.
Yeah, basically challenges him to a duel, which as a stalling technique, I admire. As a wanting to survive technique, not such a fan.
It was almost, for me, a fourth wall moment here when she's going on about the Klingon honor.
Yeah.
Because she says, you know, what happened to Klingon honor? And, you know, he basically says, you don't know anything about honor. And
I was like, oh yeah, not that I think she's dishonorable, but that if there hasn't really been much consistency as to what Klingon honor means in the series so far.
Right. And as we've made reference to earlier in earlier episodes, the Klingons seem a lot more barbaric in Discovery as compared to the Next Generation or Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And I think Klingon honor has always been situational, whatever the needs of the episode was.
It's like Vulcan logic. When it's handy to throw it in, it gets used. When it's not handy, you have occasionally Vulcan emotions.
Right. But the point being is just that when Burnham said, you know, what about Klingon honor? I was like, amen to that. It's because it's been hard to...
Truth to power, sister.
To figure out. But Cole accepts the challenge and tosses her a knife, which I know it's not a batleth, but
because what is it? Because it's awesome.
I can't remember what the Klingons call their knives and daggers, but anyway.
Cool knife.
Right, that's so they're going to have a knife fight. As this fight gets started, Discovery completes their jumps and their scans, and they've got it's going to take about 5 minutes to process all the data, at which point Lorca notices, hey, wait a minute, why aren't the Klingons shooting at us?
Why isn't anyone shooting at us? Which, again, was like, yeah, good of you to notice that.
Well, and they're not shooting at them because all the Klingons on the bridge are busy watching Cole and Burnham fight. Exactly. And they kind of jump forward. It wasn't actually 5 minutes, but all of a sudden the analysis is complete. So Lorca orders that the away team be transported back, and they reach Tyler, who says that he's got two to transport, but one's not Burnham because Burnham's on the bridge.
Right.
So Tyler gets transported back with Cornwell, and just as they're about to transport, Laurel jumps on his back. So yes, she goes back with them. And during the duel, Burnham takes a pretty nasty cut, was to her arm.
Yeah, they both get pretty well injured in this fight.
Yeah, they both get cut up. So she takes a pretty good slice to the arm, and then she stabs Cole in the leg.
Yep.
She manages to grab Georgiou's badge and leaps over the railing just as Discovery transports her away.
Which was a cool, visual awesome effect.
That was one of my favorite moments of the episode, which was quickly followed by another favorite moment, because on the Bridge of Discovery, Lorca's looking at the display that's got the Ship of the Dead under cloak. There's the outline, and it's got target points on it.
Yeah.
And he orders the torpedoes to get fired and does that slow motion glare and walk away from the screen.
It was so cool that he did that on the bridge. Yeah, because you usually can't do that when you're not actually going anywhere, but yeah, he pulled it off.
Yeah, and so the torpedoes start racing towards the Ship of the Dead. Cole starts screaming, and they know at this point they've lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then while the ship is burning up, also kind of in that slow moment, Saru rises out of a station and looks at Burnham, who's clutching onto Georgiou's badge.
Yeah.
And they kind of have that moment there.
Good, thank you. That's been taken care of.
One of my favorite aspects of this entire episode, away from any particular moment, is that over the course of the season, we've had these conversations about the lack of camaraderie among the crew. But I feel like they've been building towards that over the course of the season. And while I wouldn't say they are at the level of the crew of the next, the Starship Enterprise D and the Next Generation, or what they got to on Deep Space Nine, they're a lot closer now than they were.
Yeah.
And they'll prove it here again in a moment. They're definitely coming together. And that was the most relieved I've seen Saru when he saw Burnham there on the bridge.
No, that was a good moment. I like that moment.
Back in the ready room, they're dealing with the aftermath of the battle. Lorca is talking to Admiral Terrell, who informs Lorca that Cornwell's emergency shuttle has arrived back at their destination Starbase. I'm not sure if that was...
on this show is huge. The shuttle actually landed where it was supposed to land.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened. It happened, but then either the ship gets hijacked or the shuttle gets where it's supposed to go, and then bad things happen.
Right, exactly.
So, last time Cornwell was on a shuttle, got to her peace meeting and then promptly got kidnapped by Klingons. Terrell then informs Lorca that there are Klingon ships that are basically headed towards the Federation border under cloak, and this information that they've discovered will help them defeat the Klingons. Lorca says, well, that's great. We're refining our algorithm. We should have that data of it. What was it, 11 hours?
Yeah, there were a lot of numbers in this episode. I'm trying to decide if I think there was any relevance to them.
Terrell says, wonderful. We're ordering you back to Starbase 46. You better come this time.
Exactly. Now you need to show up because we're going to give you an award.
Yeah, the Legion of Honor. Lorca's going to be awarded with the Legion of Honor. Burnham then visits Tyler in his quarters, and this is a quite emotional scene. Burnham asks Tyler who Laurel was to him. And Tyler is very uncomfortable, and it responds that this is the reason that he has nightmares every night. He is a survivor, and the only way he could survive as long as he did on the Klingon ship was by encouraging Laurel's affections. He didn't want to do it, but that was the only way he could do it. And Burnham says he doesn't have to explain himself when he's ready, do it in a time of peace, not a time of war.
Right.
To which he replies, well, I found peace now with you. And so they have another passionate kiss. The scene shifts to Lorca having a conversation with Stamets, and this is where that camaraderie comes in again. And they're overlooking Pavo. What room was that? I didn't recognize where they were. They were clearly on Discovery. Oh, is it the cargo bay? Okay. I couldn't tell if that was a giant window or if it was the shuttle bay or where they were.
I felt it was the, shuttle bay.
So Lorca told Stamets that Starfleet's giving him this medal, the Legion of Honor, But he told Starfleet to give it to Stamets because Stamets is the one that made all the sacrifices. He,
which is true.
Yeah. It was perhaps one of the nicest things Lorca's done this entire series.
It was funny because I was watching the scene. And I was like, oh, dear. I seem to almost be liking Lorca now, which is, it shows something.
He doesn't dislike scientists, but he likes them a lot better when they can apply their science to winning a war.
Well, yeah. I think this was one of the first episodes where I actually believed the sort of we're warriors now and then we can go being explorers again. I didn't really ever believe that from him. But I think once he blew up the Ship of the Dead, he sort of saw the time more easily than he could before or something.
Well, Tyler's not the only one that's dealing with PTSD.
Well, there's that too.
Lorca is as well. And for him, it's defeating the Klingons, getting this victory, finding the key to defeating the Klingons seems to be what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfectly willing to become an explorer after he gets his revenge. You know, not a very Starfleet-like concept.
No.
But this is a more modern take on Star Trek. Stamets offers to perform one more jump so they can get back to Starbase 46. I didn't quite get the logic here. I thought once Discovery went into warp back to the base, they would have been safe. But Stamets is fairly insistent that they need to do a spore jump to ensure that they safely get to Starbase 46.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I don't know if it was just to have the sort of know my final jump, like this will be my last jump. But I'm with you. I don't think Stamets needs to do any more jumps. Like, I'm not saying, oh, don't jump the group to 46 because you need to jump them some other time. Yeah, I felt they could just stay at warp.
He eventually convinces Lorca that he can do this one last jump. He'll do it for the crew to ensure that they get there safely. And then in response, Lorca is saying, this is great. This is going to lead to a new era of discovery. We can go explore all these things that we found when we were mapping your spore drives. And Stamets says, no, you don't get it. This is going to be my last jump. Yeah. After this, I need doctors. I need to find out what I've done to myself. Lorca looks kind of regretful about it.
But is okay with it.
He's okay with it, but he does seem to regret that this is where... was what has happened to Stamets.
Yeah.
Then Tyler is having nightmares of Laurel, fairly intimate nightmares of Laurel.
This is when we regretted our children being in the room.
I don't think they dwelled on any particular moment long enough for it to be that clear. I mean, our 13-year-old knows about this stuff, but yeah.
Our 10-year-old was like, what's happening? It's just his time on the ship.
Mm-hmm. But then he wakes up and he finds Burnham sleeping on the couch. He then goes seeks out Laurel in the brig. And he wants to know what she did to him. She attempts to console him by saying it's almost time soon.
Yeah.
And that she's never going to let them hurt him.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
No.
But I don't think he's supposed to.
And he didn't even look like he was entirely clear as to what she meant.
Right. And then over the PA, there's a call for a black alert. So he leaves. So in engineering, Stamets and Culber are having a moment.
And this is the second moment they've had of this episode. I like this couple.
Right. And Stamets is, you know, he's trying to make it up to Culber, which is, I put you through a lot because, you know, we're partners. I've kind of abused your trust through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are my words for him. But it's, you know, the offer is there. It's that when they get back to Starbase 46, there's a nearby moon that has an opera. And he wants Culber to be his date to the opera. And Stamets hates the opera.
No, that was this was not a big thing considering what Stamets has done. But it certainly is on the path to healing the relationship.
Right. And so they share a nice kiss and he gets into the chamber for the spore drive. Lorca plots the course, inserts the coordinates. And just as the jump is happening, Stamets lets out a blood-curdling scream.
Oh, it was bad.
The chamber he's in ices over, and then we get notification that they've had an incomplete navigation sequence.
But the ship does kind of weird, even for a Discovery thing, where it looks like it splits in two and flips over and comes back. It wasn't good.
So Stamets falls out of that chamber, and Culber looks at him and says he's crashing, and he has, I can't remember what this was called, but something like white matter hyperintensity. His eyes have turned white.
He looks like he's blind, although he says he can see them all. Mm-hmm. And the doctor says that, you know, the white matter, which had been a problem earlier in the episode, has gotten substantially worse.
Yes. Back on the bridge, they're looking out the windows and they cannot figure out where they are. Saru is in charge of determining that. And he says, I can't determine the position.
Yeah. And that's pretty much confirmed by everybody else on the bridge.
Right. Lorca's looking out the window and says, is this debris of Klingon ships. And then we get a the scene pans out from the windows of the Discovery. And there is. There's a bunch of starship or something debris floating around. And we don't know where they are. Which leads into kind of the tease that the good folks at CBS have been giving about the second half of the season, that they're going to have to use all the resources to get home, and they don't know where they are.
Right.
And they don't have the benefit of a spore drive.
Right. That, I mean, so they're in Voyager level trouble.
I don't think they're that quite far away from home.
Probably not. But in terms of the, I mean, but Voyager knew where they were.
Right. So that does it for the first half of the season. Overall, what do you think of Discovery so far?
It is growing on me. I have never is that true? I don't. There was one episode I didn't like, but I don't think I've ever disliked the series. I'm certainly liking it more as it continues on. So I'm going to say yes, I like Discovery. How about you?
I like it quite a bit. I do like the serialized nature of it, that we're getting a story that bridges several episodes. I was reading
that
online
is nice.
That they're treating each season like a book, and that you'll have a storyline that runs the course. That's not to say that over the course of any one given season, you might not have an episode that could play as a one-off, but it'll still have ramifications for the overall story. I like the character growth. I like the developing camaraderie between the members of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Klingon involvement. The look of the Klingons has grown on me over the course of the season.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it.
They spoke Klingon a lot better this episode.
And I liked how we didn't discuss it when it happened, but when Burnham was on the bridge, she flips open the communicator and activates the translator so that the two of them could speak in what we heard was English.
Right. So we didn't have to read the bottom of the screen as the Klingons were speaking Klingon. I like that aspect of it too. I'm guessing the spore drive is going to be done with by the end of this season, and then Discovery will be your standard Starfleet vessel. I'm kind of looking forward to that. The spore drive technique and the special effects are cool, and mm-hmm. I like the idea, but just knowing that it's not around in the time period of the Next Generation or even the original series is just kind of like, okay, can we get past it? I don't want it to linger for too long. Let's find out what happens and move on. But we seem to have our answer to that. It eventually causes damage to the people that they need for it, so there's no way to keep using it.
Well, and then if there's a point at which case you're much more likely to get lost than you are to get where you ought to be, it's not reliable.
Definitely too dangerous to use.
So, and then one of the things I like, and when the show started and came out, one of the early buzz about it was that, you know, they were going to allow conflicts between the characters, and that wasn't the Star Trek way, and I'm not going to touch that debate at the moment, but what I really like is the relationships in this. I mean, Tyler and Burnham, I don't trust Tyler as far as I can throw him, but I like the relationship between Tyler and Burnham is adult and is realistic. And the relationship between Stamets and Culver is adult and realistic. And I'm enjoying that.
They've got a lot to work with here. I think it's a lot like other Star Trek shows where that first season is a matter of developing chemistry between all the characters and working out some of who the characters even are.
It's true. I mean, if you really want to punish yourself, go back and watch some of the early episodes of Deep Space Nine. And in fact, some of The Next Generation.
I was going to say, both of them have had issues
there. It's a little
there.
Rough.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that'll do it then for our discussion of Episode 9, Into the Forest I Go. Since this was the mid-season finale, we won't be reviewing any more Discovery until it returns on January 7th. That being said, we may still have a couple bonus shows between now and then, covering other aspects of Star Trek. We're still deciding exactly what that's going to be.
So if you want to sway our vote, feel free to reach out to us and sway our vote.
Yeah. And then I guess the other news is that, you know, this season is scheduled to wrap up, on February 7th, February 15th, early February.
Yeah.
And there's talk that season 2 may not be ready until 2019.
Yeah.
At which point, we will definitely be talking about something else.
We have to talk about something else.
So we're still trying to figure that out as well. But in the meantime, Beth...
Do you think there'll be books? Comic books?
Could be. Could be other Star Trek shows. Could be other Star Trek movies. We got lots of potential...
There certainly is lots of Star Trek to go into. But you were going to ask me a question.
Yes. I was going to ask you how our listeners can find us on the internet.
Well, we can be reached on Twitter at Warp Trails. We're on Instagram, sort of. But we're definitely active on Facebook. as at Warp Trails Pod, and we can be reached by email, warptrails@retrozap.com.
Yeah, I'm trying to update Twitter and Facebook on a pretty much daily basis with stories of discovery. As we get towards the end of the season, there'll probably be a lot of other Star Trek stuff there as well. But our show is part of the RetroZap Podcast Network. Head over to RetroZap.com for other great shows such as the Deucecast Movie Show, Techno Retro Dads, Green Justice, and my other podcast, Starships, Sabers, and Scoundrels. Our theme music is Wasp from Faces by Misha Dixon, and that is available on the Free Music Archive. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Live long and prosper, and we'll talk to you sometime soon.
Take care, have a good time, be good to each other.